Well, this morning we're going to continue our series on joy in Christ, and we've been looking at messages from the book of Philippians in that regard, and so this morning we're going to continue to look at those messages, and we're going to continue to think about joy. Now, remember in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. God has commanded us as Christians to rejoice. And what does that mean? Well, we've been looking at that all year long, and we're coming up on the end of this series as we continue to think about rejoicing in different circumstances and in different ways. We've thought about joy in Christ as it relates to difficulties and trials. We've thought about it as it relates to preaching the gospel to others. We've thought about it in relationship to our own thinking and how we need to pray so that we can take out that anxiety from our lives. And so there's a lot to say about Christian joy. And we certainly have not exhausted the subject. We could go on and talk about it even more. But this morning, we're going to continue thinking about it in reference to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 13. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage and read with me together from Philippians 4 as we think about the joy of contentment. And Christian contentment is certainly something that we need to have, and that joy in Christ will bring us great contentment if we will permit that to occur within our lives. Now, Paul writes these words here in Philippians 4 and verses 10 through 13. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, Paul is writing here at the end of this letter to thank them for their support of his work in the gospel. And he says at the beginning here, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." And so they had cared for him by sending him some help. And though he says this, "though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." But then they got this opportunity to help him by sending him some support. And he says that not in regard to need is what he's talking about here. That is, he would have been okay without that, but he is very thankful for it. And then he talks about contentment. He says, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And he says, "I've been abased. I've had situations where I've abounded. I've learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer." And in all those ways, he's learned to be content. And this is at the heart of Christian joy. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. And many people today do not live lives of contentment. They are distracted by ambition, wealth, possessions, power, beauty, popularity, and many other things. And if you doubt that, just turn on the television and you will be bombarded with ads that try to get you to be discontent. Yes, the world wants you to be discontent, but God doesn't. God wants us to be content. These ads and television shows abound in which people are discontent. If you've ever seen some of those things, you see how unhappy people really are. But you know, God doesn't want us to be that way. Are you content with your life? Let's note a few things this morning about Christian contentment. You know, there are some things that are not contentment that people mistake for contentment, and we're going to talk about those, and then we're going to talk about what true Christian contentment really is. But first of all, Christian contentment is not pride. It's not being proud. There are some who have the idea that contentment is conceit. They say, oh, look at me. I'm this great thing, and I'm so happy with myself. I'm so content with myself. And that's just arrogance. They may look at their beauty or their brains or their brawn and pronounce themselves better because of those things. And then they look at themselves and they see themselves as being above everyone else. And oh, look at me, I'm content with me. Oh yeah, I'm content. Look how great I am. That's not contentment. That's just pride. Let's think about what real contentment is, you know, because it's not being proud. God has made everyone equal to each other. In Acts 17, verse 26, it says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. We all live on the earth. We're all made of one blood. We're all equal to each other in value. And there's no room in Christianity for someone to elevate themselves above another in that way. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So Christian contentment is not pride or arrogance, but rather it's humility. It's humbling ourselves. You see, when we think about the work of Jesus on the cross, he died for everyone. 1 John 4 and verse 14 says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And God doesn't want us to think more highly than we ought to think about ourselves in relationship to other people. He wants us to be humble so we can take the gospel to everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Christian contentment is not pride, but humility. And there is no glory before God. When we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 29, man can't glory before God for the things that he has done. Paul wrote, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Christian contentment is not pride, but humility. Second, Christian contentment is not lazy. It's not laziness. Some mistake laziness for contentment. And they sit around and do nothing and say, oh, I'm content, I'm content. But you know, the Bible teaches us that that's not true contentment, because we're supposed to have a measure of ambition in regard to God and doing God's will and doing God's work in our life and being the people that God wants us to be. God wants us to work to provide for our families, to give to the poor, and to support the work of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, we read, "Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." In that same chapter, Paul would say, if anyone would not work, neither let him eat. Work is important, and those who mistake contentment for laziness don't understand God's will in that regard. Ephesians 4, verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give who has need." God wants us to provide for our own. He wants us to help the poor, and he wants us to work in his kingdom. Think about Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his vineyard, into his harvest.'" And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, Paul compares us to farmers. He says, "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field." And he compares us to construction workers. "You are God's building." We have a work to do, and we cannot sit back and say, "Oh, I'm content," when really what we mean is we're being lazy. Contentment is not laziness. Contentment is having the appropriate ambition so that we are industrious for our families, for the poor, and for God. Christian contentment is not self-satisfaction or being self-satisfied. You know, some think that they've done enough, you know, and we can get to this point in our life where, you know, we think that, well, I'm finished with my work. I've done enough. I don't need to do any more. It's time for somebody else to do what I've been doing. And it's okay for somebody else to do something that you've been doing, but then you need to move into another work if that's what you're going to do. The disease of self-satisfaction is a disease that will easily destroy a church. We've got to continue working. We've got to continue finding a place for ourselves in the kingdom where we're doing something to support the Lord's work and not be self-satisfied. Christian contentment can never be self-satisfaction. And why is that? Because God always expects us to step up and to do something. In Hebrews 10, in verses 24 and 25, we read this: "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now, that's the command. Consider one another to stir up love and good works. Now, how do we do that? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." In other words, coming to the assembly is part of, at least, it's the beginning efforts of stirring up love and good works. And we can't be self-satisfied in that regard. As long as we live, we need to be coming and attending and stirring one another up to love and good work. And if you can do that, at least you're doing something. I would say that's the minimum, and that you can grow from there. But let's at least do that. When we think about our salvation, we understand that God has created us to do good works. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace, but being saved by grace doesn't mean you do nothing. It means you recognize your salvation by grace, and then you step up to start doing those good works that God has prepared for us to do. Yes, Christian contentment is not being self-satisfied with our salvation, but recognizing the blessings that God has given and using those blessings to His glory. We need to constantly examine ourselves along this line to see whether or not we are doing what the Lord wants us to do each and every day. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And so Christian contentment is not being self-satisfied. It is stepping up and doing the work regardless of what has been done in the past. Now, as we go on, we're going to look at some other things here about Christian contentment, what it is. And we notice it's not pride, it's not laziness, it's not being self-satisfied, but what is it? It is living within one's means. You know, many today don't do this. They live outside of their means, and a particular problem, especially in the United States, the desire to have more, the desire to have better, that is a prominent desire that we have to face and that we need to conquer every day in our lives. There is this idea in this country of keeping up with the Joneses, right? That we've got to, whatever our neighbor has, we've got to have what they have and more. That's just envy. That's all that is. But we let that take over our lives, and we'll max out credit cards, and we'll buy the biggest, newest thing. Those shiny baubles that sit in the window of the department store that we find so appealing, so attractive. We'll do whatever we can to obtain them. And all of us are guilty of this to some degree, and we've got to face up to this, every one of us within our own lives, including myself. But if we're going to be content, we've got to learn to live within our means. This is what Paul was talking about here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10. He says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The lie perpetrated by the devil that if we just have this one more thing, we'll be happy, is never going to satisfy. When we pursue that desire to be rich, it is going to pierce us through with many sorrows. There are temptations and snares as we pursue that desire, and it will drown us, the Bible says, in destruction and perdition. And what is behind that desire? It is the love of money. That is what is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money. Money is just a tool. It's a tool to be used to take care of yourself, to take care of your family. And if that is being done, then you can be satisfied with that. It's when we get dissatisfied with it that we go above and beyond what God wants. And we take joy away from ourselves and away from our lives because we're pursuing something that we don't need. So let's be content with living within our means. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6, 19 through 21. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, we learn what we truly need and what will truly help us be content. And that is God being in our lives. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That's where our contentment lies, in letting God be our helper, in letting God live within our lives. If we have that, we have everything. We don't need all that stuff that's out there in the world, because God will provide. Contentment is living within one's means. Contentment is being thankful for what we do have. So there's two sides of this, right? Not wanting the things that you don't have is the first side of it. And then the second side of it is appreciating what you do have. And a lot of times I think we leave that undiscussed. We've got to focus on what God has given us and be content with those things. Look at what we do have and let that bring contentment to our lives. You know, there are people who have everything in this world, millionaires and billionaires, and yet they are still discontent. There are those in the middle class who are never content with their lives, constantly climbing the corporate ladder, never able to arrive. And there are those who are poor and miserable, always thinking about what they don't have, never thinking about what they do have. We've got to learn to be thankful for what we do have and not focusing on what we don't have, but focusing on what we do have. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 20. Look at what we do have. The homes in which we live. The food that we have on our table. The ability to work and earn a living. Most importantly, our friends and our families, and highest of all, our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we have and for which we need to be thankful each and every day. And when we're thankful, we will be content. And then finally, we are thankful. We learn to be content in whatsoever state we're in, as Paul talked about in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12. We will also have the peaceful assurance of salvation. You know, there are those who sin. Who simply cannot comprehend being content as a spiritual reality. They just can't understand it. Everything that they have is based on getting, going out and getting more. And they see that, they look at themselves as the reason for that. They have that pride and that arrogance. And as a result, they're not content. We can never be satisfied with ourselves because we're not the answer to life's greatest problems. I'm not the answer. You're not the answer. God is the answer. And when we have Him in our life and we have His salvation in our life, that brings great contentment. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, we read, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." This is talking about spiritual salvation. Our society has so much envy and strife. We see lawsuits and divorces, inheritance disputes, custody battles, all of those things creating so many problems when it all could be solved by turning to Jesus Christ, humbling ourselves, and obeying His holy will. That's not a popular message. It's not an exciting message. But it is the reality of the world that God has made. When we are content with our salvation, that brings great joy and blessing to our lives. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." That's what's really important. That's what's really important. It's not all these things we consume ourselves and our times with on a daily basis. So much time is eaten up with pursuing things in this world. But ultimately, everything in this world is going away. And then where will we be? Let's not trust in those uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. That's where life is really good. That's what the writer of Proverbs is telling us. When we trust in God, that's when we have the fullest life to live. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give life." John chapter 10 verse 10. Will we accept the life that God offers us? Let's really think about being content in the Lord. The joy of contentment. It brings joy when we're not proud, but we're humble. When we're not lazy, but we're industrious. When we're not self-satisfied, but we're constantly working to improve. Contentment brings joy when we live within our means, when we're satisfied with our own situation and we're not trying to get more and more and more, and when we have the peaceful assurance of salvation, and when we're thankful for everything that we have. Now, we can be a content people and do God's work and have a great life. And if we will pay attention to the Word of God and follow it, that will happen. How about you this morning? How content are you? Maybe you need Christ in your life. If you're not a Christian, then we implore you to become one by hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized to wash away your sins and to identify with Jesus Christ. That's where contentment begins. If you're a Christian, but maybe you haven't been content, maybe you've been pursuing the wrong things, and this morning we encourage you to get back to the Lord, to get right with Him, to let Him be your satisfaction in life as you continue to improve and grow and to do His holy will. Maybe you need prayer. Many choose this time to ask. If you have a need this morning that we can help you with, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.